101.7 WTYE. Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Civic Interest this morning. Well, it's been maybe a week or so ago. We talked to representatives of the Committee of 10 talking about the school consolidation between Palestine and Hudsonville. Today we are here to present the other side of that coin. A couple of representatives talking against the school consolidation. We've got Jim Bush and Drew Halter. How are you guys doing in?
Good.
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Well, let's jump right into it. Obviously, the Committee of 10 was in. They've presented their side of the argument. Let's talk about your side. First off, what is kind of the red flag, the big thing that that you guys are worried about when it comes to the topic of consolidation?
I think the lack of knowledge that the voter will have before they go vote. To me, the Committee of 10 has failed to create a compelling case to the public, because when you compare this consolidation to other consolidations that even the Committee of 10 is compared to, we do not see a list of recommendations, an exhaustive list of recommendations before we would go vote. So we don't really have the idea of what they might propose to a new Board of Education.
Now, one item on top of that is they considered only consolidation. There are 11 ways that school districts may join each other, and I believe other ways should have been considered.
Okay. What are some of the, for those of us who don't have any idea what you're talking about, what are some of those other options?
One way that has been mentioned, in fact, somebody talking about it at one point said they didn't like that, but a cooperative high school is one way. Another way might be, and this is not necessarily a good thing for Palestine, although it would keep an attendance center there, would be for Palestine to form a strictly elementary district and join their high school, say with Hudsonville, in their unit district. Those are a couple of ways. There are others.
Now, in talking with the Committee of 10, it was my understanding that if the consolidation vote were to happen, that something very similar to that is what would actually occur. You'd have the high school would essentially be in Hudsonville, grade school would be in Palestine. Is that something different than what you're talking about?
Yes, it is. And there would actually be two grade schools, because both communities would keep their grade schools.
Okay.
Junior high, and we don't know if it would be 6, 7, 8, or 7, 8, would be in Palestine, and 9 through 12 would be in Hudsonville. But it would be a unit district. All monies would go to the unit, whereas what I was talking about with the grade school thing, Palestine's separate elementary district, if they should do that, would have their own monetary situation.
Gotcha.
And the unit district would have all the rest of it.
Okay. All right. And it's that type of information that I think it's important for voters to be aware of, because there are, when anytime you're talking about budgets or you're talking about money, there are the little nuances of all of these discussions that a lot of people just aren't aware of, don't know enough, aren't educated enough about behind-the-scenes stuff. What are some of the other issues that you guys have kind of seen as barriers to consolidation?
On the topic of money, the Committee of 10 has yet to release any financial data of what a projected district may be. They continue on the course that this has only been about the kids. And yes, that we agree, but the financial data was shown at the Tuesday meeting in Palestine, and the data shows that if we were to combine and not reduce any teachers, continue as we are, that the new consolidated district would not financially last. So I think it's important that the voters see financially how well the district would be stable in the future, because currently it's proven that Palestine by itself is academically and financially thriving right now.
Okay. Now, in the vein of academics, I know one of the topics that the Committee of 10 brought forth was the idea that currently there are X number of classes that are offered in Hudsonville that are not offered in Palestine, and vice versa. There are classes in Palestine not offered in Hudsonville, and the idea under consolidation would be all students would have access to all of those classes. Can you guys speak to that topic a little bit?
They have stated that there would be 36 more courses offered, counting the two together. However, not all of those courses would be offered in 1 year, more than likely. And so also, if in fact, if you did, you would end up with, in my opinion, so few students in some of the classes that that would not be feasible. In addition, they are looking to reducing faculty and non-certs as far as that goes, but back to the student part, reducing faculty as people retire and so on. Okay, if they don't replace those people, then we're going to lose some of those courses they believe can be offered, or at least it appears that way to me. So I'm not sure there's a real gain there.
Okay.
And going off of that, the Committee of 10 says that Palestine has 19 classes, and that's about 17 classes that are not offered at the other school, when in fact that's a little deceiving because some of those classes are the same classes. They just simply have different names. The Committee of 10 has failed to come up with what new classes might be offered, like, say, ag or something similar to that. Instead, the Committee of 10 has only combined the academic offerings at each school and not come up with new, completely new classes that could be offered.
All right. Well, again, just talk about some of the other. I know when we were talking before we went on the air, there were several points that and I know Salt Fork is the consolidation that the Committee of 10 has really looked at as kind of a, see, this is how this works. And Salt Fork was providing much more in-depth information than what has been released via the Committee of 10 thus far.
That's correct. Salt Fork was able to go to each subject course offered and say, this is what the both districts currently offer. And this is what we're proposing that could be offered at a new district. So they were able to come up with completely new classes beyond what just combining would offer. So they were able to go more in depth and maybe provide that new opportunity that would be offered.
Salt Fork did make a very good presentation. They did, though, say there were some difficulties. They did not enhance or speak about what the difficulties were to any extent. I did have a student teacher in Salt Fork South a year ago, and they closed no buildings there, but I can tell you that Salt Fork South Elementary had some real problems. Where the water fountains were, they had a jug of water and paper cups for the kids to get drinks. And there were other places where the building had apparently been let go for some time. So you wonder about how well that was done as far as keeping all the buildings open, which I'm sure had something to do with it passing by keeping a school that close to that particular community.
Well, and there's been a lot of talk about the buildings, the school buildings in Palestine, in Hudsonville. I know what is currently the high school in Palestine is a much, much older building and itself is suffering from some needed repairs. And the thought is, or at least I assume the thought is, in consolidation, you eliminate the need for repairing that particular building.
That's one of the things that the committee did address, and they did say that building would be closed. That building is handicap accessible. It has an elevator in it, which I would guess very few buildings around here do have. But it has an elevator in it to take care of going from the bottom floor to the top floor and in between. And the repairs are not nearly as expensive as they were first thought to be. In fact, the high number now, I think, is about a third of what the number was when they were first talking about it.
Yeah, that's really worth noting that the new estimates of the repairs to that building are significantly less than what were originally thought. So it needs work, but it needs significantly less dollar amount to it.
Now, on top of that, if they close that building, then what happens to it? It either has to be sold to someone or it has to be torn down. If you demolish it, that's an expense for the new district. And it also leaves a big eyesore on the main street of Palestine.
Okay. And I think the residents are... Closing that building would really hurt Palestine, and we're deceiving ourselves if we don't think it would. Not having a high school there in Palestine would have a significant negative impact on the community.
Well, and I would assume that something along those lines is some of the growing pains that even Salt Fork talked about. You know, these are some of the hurdles that had to be overcome. And, you know, it's maybe some of the unintended consequences that you don't necessarily think about all the way out when you're talking something like this. There are a lot of, as we said before, nuanced parts of the equation that have to be considered and have to be looked at when you're talking about a move such as this. Now, the topic of school consolidation between Hudsonville and Palestine is not a new topic. No. My wife went to school in Palestine. She went to grade school and high school in Palestine. And she has said that even when she went to school, consolidation was certainly a topic of conversation. So what does that topic of this sort of impending consolidation do to the idea of stability? Is it a problem? Is getting teachers to come to Palestine or Hudsonville an issue because of the perceived financial uncertainty of each district?
At this moment, I believe both districts are finding teachers all right. However, working with student teachers for Eastern Illinois University, I can tell you that enrollments for teaching are way, way down. And teachers now coming out of college, they're in the driver's seat to find a job rather than the school districts. So there is that to consider. I don't see, though, how being together is going to make it easier to employ someone than being separate. They do sometimes now share teachers, or at least they have in recent years. I think that can still be done. So I don't think that should be a major consideration for how you vote.
Okay. And I think it's worth noting that Palestine is proven to be academically and financially thriving. Students are receiving the proper education in order to go beyond high school, whether it be college, trade school, the workforce. Students are succeeding out of Palestine High School. So I think that thought that there's something wrong at Palestine is completely false.
Let's talk to then. I know one of the arguments that I've heard, one of the topics of discussion is, what's the big deal? You guys co-op athletics anyway. Why not just go ahead and make it a complete co-op all the way around?
Part of the big deal here is back to closing a school and not having an attendance center in Palestine. There is no doubt that if the Palestine High School building were closed, that in itself would hurt some of the businesses. Some have said, I don't know that it's absolutely for certain or not, but some have said if the high school closed, they would have to close their business. I believe definitely that business would suffer, and then that means Palestine would suffer.
It's worth noting that also it was pointed out Tuesday that not everyone in both districts is involved in athletics. So we have to think beyond athletics when we're thinking about this as well. So we have to keep those kids in mind as well.
All right. Well, before we run out of time here this morning, anything else that you guys want to talk about, points you want to make? With the election coming up, we want to get as much information out there as we can to make sure the voters are making an informed decision, whether you vote for it or whether you vote against consolidation. The important thing is to make sure that you've got as much information as possible.
Right. And I think one of the big things to point out is in comparing to Salt Fork, the voter does not have that information before we go to the voting booth. And the key there is before we go to the voting booth, it's really important that we all realize what we're voting on before it happens.
Declining enrollments are no doubt a problem, and that's a problem over really the whole state. Even if you look at Chicago schools have lost a huge number of students over the last few years. But so down the line, it's very possible that something may need to be done. But in my opinion, consolidation is the wrong thing because Palestine then has the opportunity, that's the wrong way to put that, but they may possibly lose control of their buildings and, in effect, their students.
Now, what do you say to those people who say, why don't we go ahead and make the step to consolidate now while we have control of it before we're essentially forced into a consolidation down the road?
Well, again, I'll say consolidation is in my opinion, the wrong terminology there. There's 11 ways, again, that you can join. And I think consolidation is not the right choice. I think they need to do a lot more study before they make a recommendation for how they are to join. Will they need to join? It's quite possible somewhere down the line. If they do, then yes, I think Hudsonville is the right choice. I just think consolidation is not the right method.
And it's important that they come up with a long-term plan. Right now, Palestine is financially and academically thriving. This has not been proven to be a long-term effective plan for the students and both communities. So this is just the wrong thing right now.
Okay. All right. I appreciate you guys coming in and talking with us. And I hope we gave the voters a little bit more information, if nothing else, more information than they had before. And again, if nothing else, what you take away from the program today is additional questions that can be asked, that need to be asked, before you make your way to the polls in a couple of weeks. The voting is going to come up. And again, and I said it when I interviewed the Committee of 10 members, whether you're voting for it or against it, get out and vote. Because if you don't vote, then you cannot complain about how it goes. If you're against it, then go vote for it. If you're for it, then go vote for it. Otherwise, you just have to be quiet and live with the consequences.
I think one more thing that really needed to be considered more further than it was how efficient a new district would operate and how economically. If you go in keeping all of the staff, except for perhaps an administrator, then I don't think you've looked very much at savings. And they do say that in time, some of those people will go through attrition. So why not take a look now? If we're really going to be efficient, then let's take a good look at what staff we really need, both certified and non-certified, and make it an economical thing and an efficiency thing as well.
All right. All right. Again, I appreciate you guys coming in and talking with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Once again, we've been talking with Jim Bush and Drew Halter about the upcoming vote for consolidation. Again, I said it before, I'll say it again. If you're for it, get out and vote for it. If you're against it, get out and vote for it. Get out and cast your ballot. Traditionally, the primary elections in March are some of the lowest attended elections, just because they are. People view them as not that important. But when you've got a subject like consolidation on the ballot, it's more important maybe than ever to get out and vote.